From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. So here's a problem that's going to sound familiar to anyone who started a business. What happens when the best laid plans turn out to be wrong? What happens when you do all your homework and you line up the right investors and you hire the right talent and you create a product that all the greatest minds in your industry think is just going to totally wow people and become an instant hit? And then you launch and you severely miscalculated. It just didn't go right. What do you do then? Well, here's the first thing you can do. You can think to yourself, I am in good company, because even the best and brightest and most experienced entrepreneurs will discover that once their product actually gets out into the world, everything they planned could turn out to be wrong. And that is certainly what happened to Scott Rudman. When in 2012, he launched a new kickboxing league called Glory with ambitious plans to make it the biggest stand-up combat league in the world.
6 months into the process, that our initial plans and indeed fundamental tenets, fundamental pillars of the strategy that we were executing were completely wrong. And not only did we need to make adjustments, we needed to completely rethink and rethink it fast.
All right. 6 months in, everything's wrong. And let me tell you a little bit about the guy who got this so wrong. He has over 20 years of experience in investing, finance, and operations. He spent 3 years at McKinsey & Company, was an investment banker at Deutsche Bank in London, and founded the private equity firm Nectar Capital. He has an MBA from Harvard, which is to say, Scott's no dummy. So what happened, and how did he fix it? That is the story we're going to tell today. And to start, let's step back and first understand what he was going for. So, okay, you're going to need a quick primer on combat sports. And if you do not care about people kicking each other in the face for money, I promise I'll make it quick. It's still interesting. Maybe you've heard of the UFC. It stands for Ultimate Fighting Championship, and it's the big gorilla in the fighting world. It's worth more than $4 billion, and the athletes in the UFC fight using what's called MMA, or mixed martial arts. Basically, they're combining lots of different fighting styles, whether it's jiu-jitsu or judo or taekwondo. It's a whole mishmash. But there is a problem with MMA, and Scott wants to exploit it.
The average fan, the average guy on the street, doesn't understand about the intricate rules of what we call the ground game.
The ground game. If you've ever seen a UFC match, you'll see that there's exciting action where the fighters are standing up, but then eventually the fighters will drop to the ground and start grappling. And this is just a different style of martial arts, and if you understand it, you can see the high drama in it. But if you don't understand it, and most people don't understand it, what you see is two people on the floor barely moving for a long time. And that can get boring. So Scott begins thinking that a kickboxing league, where the fighters are always on their feet and never hit the ground, will be way more exciting.
We always had the vision that Glory Kickboxing, and it could be actually, in the long run, actually bigger than the UFC, because the sport of kickboxing and stand-up combat actually has a much broader appeal. It's very simple for people to understand.
So he and a dream team of sports and entertainment executives get together, and in 2012, they launch Glory, and they are thinking big.
We always have aspired for the Glory Sports League to be a company with $1 billion, $2 billion of valuation in a short time. So, you know, we started this with partners with already, you know, $20 million in the bank just to get going.
And right out of the gate, Glory events are huge, like enormous, crazy arena events with lasers and giant stage productions and DJs and just an extravagantly produced product. And the business model went like this: sell expensive tickets to these events, which people will be totally thrilled to pay for, and then film the event, put it on television, and pack up all the gear and go to a different city in a different part of the world and do it all over again. And you can see why they were thinking that, right? These glory guys saw a huge opportunity, and they were competing against the likes of the UFC and WWE, the wrestling company, both of which are selling out arenas with flashy productions. So Glory thinks, yeah, let's get in the game.
Well, we were 6 months into it. We'd done a couple of events in Europe. We'd done, I think, one or two events in the USA. When we discovered that, wow, our brand, and no matter what the amount of investment that we make, you know, breaking into the sports market, breaking into the entertainment market is a long-term endeavor.
Which is a nice way of saying you do not come out of nowhere and expect to be as big as your biggest competitors.
And it's not even a question of how much money you throw at it. It's a question of time and education about the customers and bringing them into the fold and making them understand really what your brand values are, what you mean, what is stand-up combat, what is glory.
And this all turned out to be an expensive miscalculation, because those big flashy events were super expensive. And that meant Glory was burning through its cash, like way faster than it expected to. Something needed to change. So Scott and his team stepped back and thought, okay, what do we know that people want? And the answer wasn't giant laser shows. It was kickboxing. It was that stand-up combat, the thing at the center of their original idea.
We simplified the events so that we didn't have such flashy production. We cut the costs of, you know, screens and computers and smoke and giant ramps and DJs and lights and lasers and all that kind of stuff on the recognition that people were coming to the shows to see the combat.
We'll get deeper into the story after this break. Let me tell you the story of Best Self. Alan and Catherine were running a business together, and each had a separate business too, so they were busy, and they wanted to make the most of their time. So they started developing a tool that would help them do that. The result was a journal, a really beautiful, simple product with space to help them plan their day, organize their thoughts, and work towards goals. Their friends loved it, so Alan and Catherine launched a Kickstarter that turned out to raise more than $300,000, and then they shifted their efforts to building an entire company devoted to helping entrepreneurs perform at their highest level. That includes that journal, as well as a dry erase 13-week wall calendar, a letterpress manifesto, and more. Good problem solving, I'd say. Find their products at bestself.co. That's bestself.co. All right, now back to the show. So now, their events only started costing a fraction of what they did before, but without sacrificing the quality of the thing that people cared most about. But that had a big ripple effect throughout the company because, don't forget, Glory had built itself to be an organization that puts on these giant flashy events. And that meant it had a management team full of people who excelled at big flashy events. And those weren't necessarily the right people to think about a scaled back, cost-conscious version of it.
And it's a mentality, right? Our initial management at the company was populated with executives who were very, very talented, but mostly their background was coming out of big companies, big entertainment companies with lavish budgets and lots of staff.
And what's wrong with that? Well, as Scott found out, it meant that a lot of these very talented people were used to having a lot of resources behind them. If you work at Disney, for example, you know that you can take some risks and put out some new products, and people will give it a chance because they already love Disney. But what if you're starting something from scratch without that brand equity? That's a different mentality. And so Glory brought in a different team. It's kind of a strange irony, right? At first, Glory hired the kind of team for the kind of company it wished it was. Big, competitive, going toe-to-toe with the giants like the UFC. And then Glory realized it needed a team for the kind of company it really was, which was a new, ambitious upstart that still had a lot of work to do. And with that team in place, Glory began looking at how it monetized its events, and it made a realization. Do you remember a few minutes ago when I said that each Glory event was televised? Now imagine you're part of the replacement management team at Glory, and you're told all this. We go, we set up a big event in a city, we televise it, then we break everything down and we move to another city. What might you think? I'll tell you what Glory's team thought. Why the hell aren't we making more television content at every event?
So in this game, the primary source of revenue for both the UFC and Glory and for any major promotion is media rights. So we actually produce two television shows from each event. And the reason we do that is because it costs a lot of money to build the set, to stage the event, to market the event, to make the promotion. So we actually film and televise two glory shows from each live event.
Two shows, not one. It's such a simple idea, but it instantly doubles the amount of TV money that Glory can make. And the way they do it is equally simple. People show up for a Glory event and they watch two or so hours of kickboxing, and then there's an intermission. And while people are getting their hot dogs and hitting the bathroom or whatever, the Glory team gets to work.
We change the look and feel of the ring. We actually change the lighting style of the arena. We change the sponsors' names on the variety of assets. And we actually even change the style and flavor of the music that's played in the background and on the telecast. And then we film an entirely another part of the night, which is the Glory Number Series. And that's another two-hour segment.
Same location, same audience, two totally different feeling events. And that's a lot of value for the people watching on TV, but it's also a lot of value for your ticket, right? I mean, if you love kickboxing, you are literally going to be pummeled with kickboxing if you go to a Glory event. Your face is going to be pounded with kickboxing. And today, all of these changes have paid off very well. Glory holds live events around the world, which are televised in 175 countries and watched by 10 to 12 million people each. And Yao Capital, which is headed up by the former NBA star Yao Ming, recently invested $25 million for a minority stake in the company. In turn, Glory is now plotting a huge entry into China, where Scott says this game is going to be very different. Because back in 2012, Glory's problem was introducing its sport to fans. The company was like, "We're here!" And everyone was like, "What do you do again?" But that is not the case in China.
We are entering the nation of China with Glory. Now, the fantastic thing there is Chinese Kung Fu invented this stuff. It's been embedded in the national culture. Stand-up fighting and stand-up combat has been embedded in the national culture of China for 3,000 or more years. We don't have to educate anybody in China about what is kickboxing, what is Kung Fu, what is Taekwondo, what is, you know, the martial arts. They know it all.
Now Glory expects that within 2 years, its business in China alone will be as big as its business in the rest of the world. And this is the great value, and really the great fun, in rethinking your plans. I know it can be tough when plans don't work out. It can be an ego blow. You know, you spend a lot of time plotting something, and it starts to feel like that is a part of you, like you are only as good as the plans you make. But if you're trapped in that mentality, I strongly suggest that you step back and think about what's really important. Because you know what's important? Your idea. Your idea is important. The plans are just the way of bringing that idea to life. They're disposable. They're changeable. They're meant to be adjusted. The plans are the scaffolding around the building. And once the building is done and it's beautiful and bold and people want to come inside and live in it, nobody remembers the scaffolding. Nobody cares what came before the building. They're just glad that you took the time to figure out how to build it. And that if there were problems along the way, you rethought what you were doing and kept focused on the goal. And that's what Glory did. By changing its plans and by scaling back its shows, it began to truly achieve its ambitions and finally start growing as big as it always wanted to be. And that's our show. Problem Solvers comes out every week. So to make sure that you don't miss an episode, please subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. If you love what we're doing, please also leave us a review. It totally helps us reach more people. That's our problem solving right here. And of course, there are a lot more stories like this one, along with practical advice on how to start and grow a business in Entrepreneur Magazine and on our website, entrepreneur.com. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Our producer is Nathan Latka. Again, my name is Jason Pfeiffer, and I'm the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Let me know what you think about the show. You can find me on Twitter at @HeyPfeiffer, H-E-Y-F-E-I-F-E-R. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.